It's a ball cap with a light sewn into it.
Yeah, in the bill itself, on the underside of the bill, so you don't even really notice it.
Wow.
But you turn it on and it's hands-free.
It's like seriously dorky and cool at the same time.
It's completely dorky, but I don't. I carry a purse too, so I don't really concern myself too much about it. Welcome to the Off-Grid Outpost podcast, where we discuss the journey to real liberty through self-sufficiency, counter-economics, non-aggression, and the agora.
The Outpost represents the border between societal norm and the pioneer spirit. Every episode contains practical, philosophical, and technical information you can use to gain the freedom you deserve.
Good morning, everyone. This is Regina with the Off-Grid Outpost podcast, and I am here with Cyrus.
Hello, hello.
And today's episode is essential gear for your bug out bag. Survival gear, essentially.
Survival gear. Bugging out.
Bugging out. Kind of a hot topic this year with all the crazy shit going on.
Man, yeah. Yeah, if you live in a city area, this is certainly something you should be thinking about. And a lot of people are, so that's good.
Yeah, I wonder how much of the population actually lives in cities.
I don't know.
I'm looking. Percentage.
Yeah, urban areas, and even, I would say, too, the suburbs. You know.
82%.
Oh, good grief. That's huge.
Wow. 82% of all people live in cities. I didn't know that. Of course, what is considered a city? I think anything above 100,000 people is considered a city.
Yeah. Well, it's a good idea to have a bug out bag. You want to be ready to go at a moment's notice.
Well, and everybody should have a bug out bag.
Yeah.
Everybody in every situation.
I mean, we have one.
Yeah, we have one too.
And I would bug in under almost all situations. I would be bugging in. But I have one just in case some certain, I mean, you never know. Maybe, I don't even know, but.
There's a fire. You have a fire on your property and you have to get out of the property fast. And the one thing you grab is your bug out bag. There's a flood.
Yeah.
Hurricane. I mean, it's not just because of social upheaval. You know, when we think bug out bag, we think of getting out of the city because, you know, you lose power, social unrest, etc. But it could be for disaster scenarios as well. Earthquake, fire, flood, hurricane, tornado, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the nice thing about being rural is you tend to, instead of go into bug out mode, you go into prepper mode and you just have your food stores and everything on site.
Right.
And then you also have a get home bag, which is the opposite of bugging out, where you are maybe in a scenario where you're far from home and now you need to get home and you have a bag that will help you get home. So that's kind of the reverse.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, the get home bag is really just my man purse that has items in it that would be useful if I have to get home on foot.
Right.
From, like, my nearest town is 20 miles away. And if I got to get home on foot and maybe there's social unrest, something crazy going on, who knows, martial law, whatever. And I've got to go through the woods to get home instead of traveling down roads. You know, if I just walk down roads to get home, I can be home in a few hours. But if I want to stay off roads and I got to go through woods, it might take me, I might have to stay the night in the woods somewhere.
A 20 mile trek? That's a 2 day. Yeah. I would consider that a 2 day trek, wouldn't you? 20 miles? That's pretty big.
Well,
it's pretty long.
Well, not if you're just walking on roads.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you can, you know, you can do 10 miles in an hour easily.
Holy shit. You can walk 10 miles in an hour?
Oh, wait. No, I said that wrong. Walking is a mile.
3 miles an hour is a standard, I think. The average is three miles an hour,
I don't know where I came up with 15.
If you could walk 10 miles in an hour, you are, well, that's running. that's running. Really
right.
Fast.
Yeah. Yeah, I said that way wrong.
No, that's cool. I think the standard's 3 miles an hour, so that would be like an 8 hour trek.
Oh, you know what? I remember what I was thinking. The average person can walk a mile in 15 minutes. I think that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, four miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I got the 15 number from.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, 20 miles in a day in a few hours, eight hours.
Right.
But if you got to stay off the roads, and if you're trying to get home, and I'm trying to get home, that is in a situation where when I see people, I'm hiding. I don't want to be exposed. I don't want anyone to see me just mm-hmm. for safety. It's going to take me a long time. So, you know, I've got a fire starter kit in my, it's really just the bag I carry every day, the man purse, and then flashlight and knife and all the stuff that would just help me in situations to get home if I had to stay the night in the woods.
Yeah, that's smart. You just have it on you at all times.
Yeah, it's always with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, bug out bag is much more involved. You know, you're planning for at least a 72-hour stay away from your property. So you got to carry a lot more stuff. So let's get into it. What kind of stuff?
Well, like you were saying, the bug out bag is usually designed for 72 hours. But then there's a fine line of, okay, when does your bug out turn into a long-term shit hit the fan situation? And then how do you plan accordingly for that as well? So there's always this kind of balance between weight and how much gear you're carrying and what you really need and what you can do without. And I think people really struggle with that, especially if you're designing your own custom bug out bag. That's where it gets tricky. Mm-hmm. So I've actually written a comprehensive article on MaximumOffGrid.com, the ultimate bug out bag list for 2021. And this article is going on 2 years old. I just newly revised it with the latest gear, more interesting things that have come out. And what's great about the article is I break it down into the factions of survival. So you have all these different needs and factions. You have water, food, shelter, warmth, etc. And then within mm-hmm. each faction, you could pretty much fill a bug out bag with each, you know,
sure.
just with food, just with water stuff. So
mm-hmm.
I have everything sorted by faction, but then I break it out into the bare minimum that you need to survive. So you can go on this article and build out the most bare minimum bag to the most robust bag. So it's extreme compartmentalization and organization within this article that a lot of bug out bag articles fail to do. So I kind of bridge that gap.
Yeah. Well, what I like about it too is you've broken things down by weight. So
yep.
you can build a bag virtually and know how much it's going to weigh before you build it, which
yep.
is really helpful.
It is helpful. And no one else has done that in the space. That's another thing that kind of triggered me to write the article. No one lists out how much it weighs, and it's so overlooked. And you're only supposed to carry 20% of your body weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what they recommend. And then that's for someone in good health. What happens if you're not in great health? You might want to take that down to 15%. So that's a mm-hmm. huge factor to consider. And MaximumOffGrid.com, just go to the website. The article is listed. It's the very first article listed on the homepage. Or you can check out the show notes, the URLs in the show notes, but this is a companion podcast to that article, so you can literally follow along the article, the products, what we're talking about, and listen along. So it's like totally interactive.
Right.
Anything else you want to add before we begin?
Well, we do have a pretty cool announcement.
Oh, yeah?
For all of our products online, you know, we've got the ebooks and the t-shirts and all of that kind of stuff. We now accept cryptocurrency, if you'd like to use cryptocurrency to get any of that stuff. So, yay!
Yay! Woohoo! One cryptocurrency payments!
One more step towards agorism and away from the system.
This is a peer-to-peer cryptocurrency transaction, too.
Yeah, no KYC.
Yep. You can buy our own in-house products and ebooks with crypto, not have to pay tax on it, untraceable transaction, you know, what crypto was genuinely created for.
Right. Exactly. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, it is exciting. It is what Satoshi Nakamoto, I don't even know if that's the way to say his name, the guy who made Bitcoin, who wasn't really a guy. I'm pretty sure it was just a group of programmers / hackers. Nakamoto. Satoshi Nakamoto? It's something like that.
Yeah.
What he originally intended crypto to do. We are doing. Oh, and it is snowing right now. In southern Arizona, by the way. Yeah, the flakes are coming down right now. It's really cool. All right, so on with the Bug Out Bag show. The first section is actually choosing the bag itself for your Bug Out Bag.
Yeah. So what do you recommend?
So don't go cheap on your bag, because if you're hauling all this gear and your bag fails, that is the epic disaster to end all disasters.
Mm-hmm.
You want a good, hardy bug out bag that's comfortable too. You know, you don't want to be tricking with a 30, 40, 50 pound bag that's uncomfortable.
Right. And there's a big difference in bags when it comes to comfort.
Mm.
I mean, mm-hmm. I remember the hiking bags that we used when I was in the scouts when I was a kid, and then those old military bags that had the metal frames.
Ooh.
Like, man, those are not easy. They're not fun to hump for a long distance. But these newer bags, they're all padded, and they've got all these straps that hold the weight against your body nice and tightly, so nothing's shifting around on you when you're taking steps. There's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind.
Bags have really come a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And on the article, I have quite a few different bags listed, ultralight, class, canvas, so you can check it out. But the main bag is the tactical bag that we see, which is made of a ripstop nylon bag. It's got the MOLLE system on the side or on the back. They're built for bugging out.
Right.
And some people that make those kind of bags,
they're nearly indestructible.
Yeah. If they're made well. Now, there's a bunch of cheap knockoffs, but if you go with like 511 Tactical, if you go with Rebo is another really good brand, you can get that quality you're looking for. You're going to pay for the quality, but it'll be worth it.
Right.
This is the kind of item that you splurge on. There are certain things you can cut corners on, but don't cut corners on the quality of the bag.
Yeah, that's good advice.
Mm-hmm. I usually look for at least a 600D, which is denier, and denier stands for the material toughness. You could find 200D all the way up to 1000D. I would recommend a minimum of a 600 denier. But I know 511 Tactical has been using 1000D for their bug out bags, which is pretty cool. That's really tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing to consider is the gray man theory. So you're bugging out of the city. You have a big hulking backpack on that's clearly full of goods. It could make you a target. So also consider a non-conspicuous bag if you're in that situation. You want to blend in with the crowd.
Yeah, like just a regular hiking bag with a sleeping roll on top of it, and people just think you're, a traveler, walking traveler.
Right, exactly. Or a canvas bag, or even kind of a duffel bag. But if you're going full geared out tactical bag with a bunch of like Molly accessories hanging off, I mean, clearly you've got the good shit in there. You might make yourself a target. So.
Right. Yeah, don't use the Molly to strap your Glock on the outside of your bag. It's going to draw attention.
Right. So then the next section is really just basic survival tools. You know, the bare basic tools you want to survive. And the first one in that section is your fire starter. Now, this could be matches, this could be a lighter, and that's all great, but I recommend having a more long-term fire starting object in addition to your matches and your lighter. So I have matches, I have a lighter, and I have a ferrocerium rod and steel, which is flint and steel on steroids, basically.
Right. Yeah, I've got the same thing.
You have a ferro rod.
There are some things in my bag that, yeah, some things in my bag that I have redundancies for. And
Yes.
starting a fire, I have multiple redundancies because you just don't want to be without fire.
Yeah, I would be very uncomfortable without fire. You know, you use it to purify water, you use it to cook with, you use it for warmth. There are so many things you need fire for in a survival situation. So redundancies is a good way to put it. I suggest going not fuel based. You know, there's these little fuel canisters you can use. I don't really want to carry around a bunch of fuel canisters. I feel like there's better options out there. Ferro rod and steel is a great option. So basically ferrocerium, it makes super hot, like 2000 degree sparks, like a shower of sparks. Like it's just so much more than flint. And so I really like that one.
Yeah, it makes the job a lot easier if you haven't ever started a fire with flint. If you've got the magnesium or the ferro rod, it's a buttload easier.
Yeah, it's pretty much like beginner
And
proof.
yeah, well, you certainly want, without a doubt, you get your bug out bag all set up and you've got your ferro rod. You certainly want to go build a fire. Just
Yes.
go do it. Because it does take some work and there are some tricks to it, and you don't want to be figuring all that shit out in an emergency.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You want to practice with your survival tools because when you're bugging out, you're going to be under that much more pressure. And when we're under stress and pressure, we get stupider. So you want it to be kind of like muscle memory. To know how to use that ferro rod to start your fire, to know how to put up and take down your emergency tent, to know how to get your wood stove going to boil water, that kind of thing. Like, you don't want to do your first dry run with your survival equipment on your bug out.
And there's a psychological advantage to that too, because if you have, under normal circumstances, practiced and you know how to make a fire with your ferro rod, then in an emergency situation and conditions aren't perfect and you're not getting it and it's taking you longer, you're less likely to give up because you can say to yourself, I've already done this once. I know I can do it.
Yeah.
But if that very first time is in a situation where conditions aren't right and you're having a hard time and you've never done it before, you might think in your head, I don't know how to do this. I can't get this fire going. And then, now what? You don't have the psychological advantage of being able to tell yourself, I've already done this once. I can do this.
That's a really good point. I never thought of it that way. You build the confidence that you can use your survival tools. You know, I need more practice. I mean, I have some practice, but I don't have nearly the practice I should have. So maybe I'll do that this
Well,
week.
you can never have too much practice. So
You're right. And that's a nice thing with a ferro rod. You get like 20,000 strikes on one rod, depending on which one you buy. So you can use it 100 times and still have tons of life left in the product. So you don't have to worry about using it up. There's other really cool stuff too, like the Tesla lighter. That's a rechargeable plasma lighter. And it's pretty much reliable.
Really good.
Mm-hmm. Windproof, waterproof, stormproof.
It ignites things so easily.
Does it?
They work really well. I have one and it works real well.
Nice.
And, you know, you charge it with like a regular USB. So if in your bug out bag, you also have like a power pack for your cell phone so you can charge your cell phone. You could also charge that lighter if you needed to. Some people keep a little small solar powered power pack that just hangs off the back of their bag. So when they're hiking, it's charging the power pack so that they can keep, maybe they have a walkie talkie in their bag that they keep charged with it. Or like I said, the cell phone. So yeah, it's a pretty good addition to a bug out bag.
Well, and they make these multi-tools. That's like a hand crank radio / flashlight / solar charger combo. I'm all about multi-tools. You know, if you're going to pack it, if it can do more than one job, you're saving that much space and that much weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Survival Frog makes a really good plasma lighter and flashlight multi-tool.
Mm-hmm.
Really big fan of Survival Frog. I'll put a link in the show notes to them. They make really high quality bug out survival gear.
Yeah, they've got some cool shit.
Mm-hmm. Another thing, moving on, is paracord. You gotta have paracord in your bug out bag.
So many uses for paracord.
Yeah, that's bug out bag 101. So basically, you get a 550-pound paracord. That's the weight I recommend because they make heavier weights, but then it becomes bulkier and heavier. So 550 will do the job. When you unravel paracord, mm-hmm. it's like having cords within a cord.
Mm-hmm.
So you can unravel it and use it for tons of stuff. It's like having cords within a cord within a cord. It's really cool, like if you've never unraveled it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, you can even buy paracord too, that the inner core, the very center cord, is flammable.
Ooh.
So you could use it to help get fires going. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Really? I haven't seen that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to find that. How helpful. Yeah, so you can take apart your paracord and make fishing line out of it. You can use it for sewing. You can use it to make nets, like fishing net. You can use it for tinder, like you're saying, flammable. But even if you don't have flammable, it's still going to ignite if you take it apart. And then all your typical basic rope things for making shelter, climbing. You can make tourniquets with it. You just have to have it. You have to have paracord in your bug out bag.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's no reason not to have it either because it's not heavy. You know, it's depending on how many feet you want to keep, you feel like you should have. It can be a little bit bulky, but it's light.
It is 12 feet per ounce at 550.
Well, there you go. See how useful that article is?
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that's pretty. I have a lot of useful gems on this article, don't I?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty intense.
It is an intense. The article is 8,000 words. It's over 8,000 words. And it's definitely one of those articles that you bookmark and come back to probably 5 times for reference. Because it's just too much to take in during one read.
Right.
Moving on to
Illumin. It's a small book.
It is a small book, but that's how I write, as you know. I'm a long form writer.
Yeah. While we're talking about paracord, I would also mention too, something I keep in my bag is a packet of reusable zip ties because there's, you know, it's not exactly cordage, but they're so handy for making repairs to your bag. You can, like if your shoelaces break, you can, instead of having to take your boot off and relace it with some paracord or something like that. You just put some zip ties in your laces and just keep going, you know, because you might be in a situation where you don't want to be sitting down in one spot for very long to relace a shoe. Or, you know, maybe your belt buckle breaks. You can just throw a zip tie on your belt, keep going. So I keep a packet of zip ties in my bag too, because there are just so many uses.
That is a really great idea. And I have a tiny section on the article that goes into some random things to pack in your bag, like duct tape, garbage bags, pen and paper, super glue, rags, tweezers. I'm actually adding reusable zip ties as we speak to that list.
Yeah, and they don't even have to be reusable either. You can get the regular zip ties, but...
Oh, the reusable are so much better, though.
Yeah, they're way handier.
Way handier. Yeah, I would definitely spend the extra, buck or two on reusable. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great prepper tip. Bug out tip. Okay, so moving on to the next basic survival tool is going to be your illumination. And one of my favorite things is the evolution of the flashlight, which is a headlamp.
Yes.
So great. I use my headlamp all the time.
A buddy of mine calls it a tweaker light.
A tweaker light? Oh my God.
Yeah.
That fits. Yeah. I get that.
But, and you know, I wear ball caps all the time, and whenever I get a new cap, it's always got a light in it. It's on the bill. Built in.
Oh, really? They make those?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that.
It's camouflage. It's pretty cool. I got it at Home Depot, or no, Lowe's. I got it at Lowe's.
It's a ball cap with a light sewn into it?
Yeah, in the bill itself, on the underside of the bill, so you don't even really notice it.
Wow.
But you turn it on, and it's hands-free.
It's like seriously dorky and cool at the same time.
It's completely dorky, but, you know, I carry a purse, too, so I don't really concern myself too much about it.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, who gives a shit? I mean, that's where I've gotten to in life. I'm like, I just don't even give a shit. Yeah, I know, I'm a huge nerd. I'm cool with that. So, yes, if you don't want to wear a dorky, lighted-up ball cap, you know, they make great headlamps now. I don't like, when you go on Amazon and start searching for headlamps, a lot of them are super bulky. Like they have this massive, like ultra super bright lumens, bulky ass headlamp with 8 different bulbs. And then it's got this massive battery pack on the back. And then it has a strap that goes over your head. So it's like a triple strap system. I don't like those. I don't need that. Yeah. Like I don't need that much light, you know?
Right.
It's overkill.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I've gone through a lot of headlamps, and the one that I liked the best, which finally wore out because I used it nonstop all the time, was a little small one with, I think it had 2 bulbs, and it was rechargeable, so it didn't even have a big bulky battery pack.
Yep.
It had a USB charge port. That's been my favorite one I've ever had.
Yep, and I actually have that listed on the article, the budget-friendly, cheap rechargeable headlamps from Amazon. They work fine. You can recharge them. And then you have the one strap that goes around your head. You don't have this annoying top strap. You know, bigger is not always better. And this is like the truth for headlamps.
Yeah, I think it's the truth for anything you put on your head.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Why do you want to put that? Unless you have one of those beer hats where you have the beers, you know, mounted like that people wear at the stadium.
Straw.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe bigger is better in that case. But in most situations, no. Right. I also like to have a hand crank flashlight because if I lose access to batteries, if I lose access to power, I can hand crank a flashlight, you know, and get your illumination that way. Get some energy that way.
Yeah, lighting is another item to have redundancies.
Yes. Lighting's important. Moving along, so I want to talk a little bit about self-defense, and automatically our minds go to guns for self-defense when bugging out, which is great. I mean, of course I'm going to pack heat when I'm bugging out. I think the main issue is the weight of the ammo in the bag can become cumbersome. So again, you're packing something that will run out of stuff.
Yeah.
One round of 40 weighs about 10 grams. So 45 to 50 bullets weighs a pound. And that's not like a lot of ammo, especially if you're using it for hunting, you know, down the road, if it turns long term. For 72 hours, 50 rounds should be plenty. But if you go into a long-term situation, so basically, I guess what I'm trying to say is you want redundancies for self-defense as well.
Yeah.
And in this case, I recommend like a taser. You know, you get thousands of shocks on one charge. So,
right.
You know, if you're bugging out and you're carrying a gun and you get grabbed from behind, you have your taser handy, you know, as your backup self-defense. Another thing I like about tasers is you can snap the taser and it scares off animals. Animals do not like electricity at all.
Ah, never thought about that.
Yep. And that's just a good life tip. If you're in a neighborhood where there's like some bad dogs and you're scared of the dogs and you have a dog following you or getting aggressive with you, you snap that taser, they'll run. They do not like it.
Yeah.
Horses are very sensitive to electricity, and they do not like electricity at all. Not that you're going to, you know, run into bad horses on the way, but it's just interesting.
Right. And I wouldn't recommend trying to tase one anyway.
I'm going to make coffee go through my nose. A taser is a good idea. Pepper spray, I'm kind of iffy on it. I suggest pepper gel, because spray can blow back in your face, but gel won't. The issue with pepper spray is that some people it does not affect.
Really?
Yeah. There are certain people that it will not one bit. It'll be like someone spraying water in their face.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. I'd say most people are, but if you're in a city SHTF bug out situation and people are going rabid around you and they're on, you know, maybe they're on drugs and they are less affected by pepper spray, their adrenaline's going to be going so freaking high that it won't affect them. And then there's the freaks that just, it doesn't affect them at all. So that's where I think a taser is just better. A taser will drop someone, you know?
Yeah.
And they'll be paralyzed for like 2 to 3 seconds, depending on how much contact, like depending on how long a taser is on someone's skin.
Yeah. So gun, taser, pepper spray, nunchucks, throwing stars.
Mm.
Oh, wait, maybe not those last two.
Hell yeah. If you're good at them. That'd be awesome, actually. All right. Moving on to basic survival tool number 5, the survival knife.
Like a Rambo knife?
Well, there's all kinds of different knives. So that's the thing. You know?
Sure.
I like to have 2 on me for bugging out. And the first would be your large fixed blade knife, which is your bushwhacker. And then a small EVC, everyday carry knife, which is going to be for your finer knife utilities. Technically, knife falls into a self-defense item, so kind of a multi-tool in that aspect, but there's so many things you can do with a knife. This is like a must-have along with paracord, don't you agree?
Yeah, especially if you end up in like a bushcraft situation, you know, without a knife everything becomes 10 times more difficult.
Yep. Some of the things you can do with a knife, you can fashion pointed tips on a spear. That's kind of a long-term survival. You can carve tools, chop firewood. That's huge. You have your big, you know, Tom Brown tracker. and you're chopping up firewood, bushwhacking. You can skin animals and prep meals.
Right.
So I have some recommendations. I love Topps knives. Well, Cody turned me on to Topps knives. They're made in the USA. They're super high quality and they're massive. They have hacker slasher knives. They have like zombie apocalypse knives. You know, so they're just great. And they come with really nice Kydex sheaths that are very comfortable. And that's a huge thing when it comes to knives. Really look at the sheath it comes in. There's so many chintzy sheaths out there. And then, you know, if your sheath breaks, now you're lugging around a 16-inch hacker machete with nothing to, you know, put it in.
Mm-hmm.
That would kind of suck. You'd kind of look like Freddy or Jason or something. Walking around with a machete. Oh, boy.
Yeah, not very gray man.
No, that would not be gray man. You'd be asking for trouble, I suppose. Don't forget a knife sharpener.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a crying shame.
Yes, and definitely a skill to practice.
Yeah, knife sharpening is definitely a skill that I have no skill in. I have no skill in knife sharpening because Cody is like a master knife sharpener. He's kind of like obsessed with knife sharpening. So he just sharpens all my knives for me. So I should probably learn.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That was one of the skills that took me a really long time to just get decent at.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it took me a long time to figure that out. And it just from trying and trying and trying.
It's all about
there's
angles.
There's definitely an art to sharpening knives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's about the angles. It's about the type of knife it is. There's a lot in knife sharpening. In the motion and the rhythm, it's an art form for sure. And it's technical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You definitely want to practice knife sharpening. I will admit that is a serious weak point of mine. Just because I rely on someone else to do it for me. Which is a good point to make about survival. You know, if you're bugging out with someone else, which you likely will be. I mean, I'm sure there'll be some single bug outers. But, you know, at least 50% of us are bugging out with a spouse or a child or a parent.
Right.
It's good to have specialty skills, but you also at least want to know the basics on your own, because what happens if you get separated?
Right.
Just a point. Just making a point. Mm-hmm. So I think this is going to be broken down into two episodes because we're getting to the 40-minute mark. But I do want to finish off the basic survival tools, so just bear with me. I have two more to cover, and then we'll wrap it up and we'll... This might even be a three-episoder, to be honest.
Whatever it ends up being is what it ends up being. We just wanted to do a good bug-out bag overview.
I think it's going to be a series.
Not exactly overview, but kind of get into things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
The next survival tool is the multi-tool section, which we kind of started touching on multi-tools.
Mm-hmm.
You have a multi-tool?
I do. Yeah. For sure.
They're awesome.
Yeah, I've used a bunch over the years. I don't know, I started with my first multi-tool in Boy Scouts with a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah,
Evolved from there. I've had Gerbers. My favorite multi-tool that I've ever had was the Leatherman Wave.
Mm.
In fact, they have a lifetime warranty, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So you break a blade or something like that, you just send it in, you get a new one. There's two reasons that I think that tool is exceptional. One, the blades are positioned on the outside, so you don't have to open it up to get to a blade.
Oh, wow.
You can pull a blade out with it in its closed position, which is handy. And then the other one is not such a big deal anymore. It was when they first started making them, but the blades have line locks on them, which was a fairly new thing when they came out. But I guess now pretty much most knives have line locks, so it's not as much of a big deal anymore.
Interesting. Yes, the Leathermen, they have made the ultimate highest of quality multi-tool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're spendy, but you're getting the massive quality and the
warranty.
Yeah,
the Leatherman Wave, I think the Leatherman Wave, when I bought it, it was like $60 or $70 or something like that.
Yeah,
not too bad.
That's not terrible. I know that they can go all the way up to a couple $100, depending on how comprehensive mm-hmm. you get. But you're going to spend mm-hmm. a minimum of $60 on a good multi-tool. And if you're spending any less than that, you're probably going to get junk. You don't want to go cheap on your multi-tools.
Another item where quality counts.
Mm-hmm. Certain things you can go cheap on, the multi-tool is not. But think about it. I mean, the Leatherman I have recommended on the website, it's got 21 tools. So you spend $120, divide that by 21, that's like $6 a tool in one tiny little 9-ounce pocket piece, you know?
mm-hmm. Which, you know, is really handy, especially in an urban situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's, like, out here where I am, if I bug out from my location and I end up in the forest, I'm really not going to need a Phillips screwdriver. You know? But if you're bugging out in an urban situation and maybe you need to break into a shelter and you can use the Phillips screwdriver to, I don't know, undo a hasp on a lock or something like that, that's pretty handy.
Right. It's a great point. Yeah, I would say it's a must-have for urban survival.
Mm-hmm.
Another multi-tool I recommend is like a shovel multi-tool. And they break down pretty small into a pouch. So the one I have recommended is 12 tools in one. It's a shovel, knife, hatchet, saw, hoe, glass breaker, fire starter, fish scaler, bottle opener. It has hex wrenches. It has Phillips head screwdriver. And it has a watertight compartment in the handle.
That's kind of funny that they listed glass breaker. I'm pretty sure every shovel is a glass breaker.
Well, yeah. That is kind of funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I like to have a multi-tool shovel with me. I tend to find that I have to dig shit up. Like, I don't know. It just happens. I think it's good for your rural bug out. You might not need a multi-tool shovel when you're, like, city bug out. I think the pocket multi-tool, the plier multi-tool would be better for that. But for a rural kind of situation, yeah. The shovel comes very handy.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And they're just really badass, so.
That all kind of goes back to what we've said a number of times in previous episodes. Everything is really going to be dependent on your specific plan.
Yes.
You know.
And that is why it's nice to build your own bug out bag than purchasing a pre-made bug out bag. So you can build it from the ground up, and it is more difficult. It does take a lot more thought, a lot more planning, and it is going to cost more money. But pre-made bug out bags tend to go chintzy, and they tend to go just generic. So, I mean, you could always start with a pre-made bug out bag and then add gear into it. But I also find pre-made bug out bags, the quality of the bag itself is usually not good.
Yeah, it's definitely better to build your own.
Yeah, it's
and
just
tailor it to your own specific plans and needs.
I totally agree. Another good, multi-tool, like the shovel tool is like really good for if you go into a long-term situation. So if you're bugging mm-hmm. out from the city and you're just trying to get out of the city, then what happens?
Right.
Do we have a backup cabin that's prepped full of, you know, canned goods and well, and I'd say most of us do not have that.
Right.
So you may be going into a long-term survival situation, which would be a great place for me to talk about my bug out bag heirloom seed kit that I created. Basically, I have chosen 7 seed varieties on the criteria of 7 survival food criteria, basically. So how fast will it grow? Right. How nutritious is it? How hardy is it? How much room does it take up? How long will it store? How much will it produce? And I also have the 7th morale booster will it boost your morale? You know, that's kind of a frivolous one, but morale boosting is important when you're bugging out, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's frivolous at all, really.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It is important.
Yeah.
Yeah, so your seed pack is like, how fast can I grow the most nutritious thing and it survive?
Exactly.
So hardiness, level of nutrition, how and speed. Yeah, I like it.
So I really thoughtfully thought of each seed. And then I didn't put a bunch of different seeds in there because it's going to be hard to grow regardless. So I didn't put 30, 40, 50 seed varieties. Now, if you want that, I have the emergency survival seed bank that has a 30 seed variety. But if you're, you know, just putting this in your bug out bag, you don't need 30 seeds. You know, you can get all your nutrition and everything you need. All your boxes checked at 7 is what I found out.
Well, and it's meant to be like, if you end up in a situation where you're in a long-term survival plan, it's meant to be a starter, like just to get things going. So immediately, you know, I've got some food in the ground. It'll be here in 30 days.
There is a 30-day grower. Yeah, I have the white icicle radish, which will provide you radishes mm-hmm. within 20 to 30 days.
Right.
You can eat the radish
grains. So it's not meant to be a full-on garden.
No, it's a survival. Yeah, exactly. It is a survival garden. So the whole pack itself only weighs 1 ounce. You can fit this into any bag. You know, you don't have a big, bulky, heavy thing. And I include planting instructions. So, you know, you'll know how to plant what you're growing, which is super important. Right. That's on MaximumOffGrid.com. You can go to my heirloom seeds for sale. I'll also put a link in the show notes. But I think it's just good because most of us probably don't have that long-term cozy situation chosen out. You might have mm-hmm. to grow some food. Foraging, yes. Hunting, yes. Fishing, yes. Cultivating, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a cool thing. And I haven't seen one, like, ever, anyone ever doing this. So I think I have an actual unique product.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. MaximumOffGrid.com, heirloom seeds. So moving on to our last faction. Well, it's not the faction. Our last survival tool. We haven't even gotten into the factions. There's 7 of those, too.
Right.
Basic survival tool 7, signaling. You may want to signal. You may need to signal somebody. That's just a good survival tool, like a mirror. It could be as simple as a mirror. You get right. lost from your party.
Whistle.
A whistle. Yep. That's on there too. Another one is a flare gun, maybe. You can use it for self-defense too, because it does not feel good to get shot by a flare gun. I can guarantee you.
That's true.
I mean, I don't know. I've never been shot by one, but I could imagine it's not going to feel good.
Right.
So, you know, being able to signal if you get separated from your group, if you're in a survival situation where you want to be found, there's a helicopter going around looking for you, Coast Guard, you know, there's a million reasons you might need a signal.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend having at least a little mirror. A mirror and a whistle would probably be your most basic.
Yeah, I would think that's probably all you really need.
Yeah. And they make fancy survival mirrors that are made out of plastic instead of glass, so you don't have to worry about it breaking. And then they have a pinpoint in the middle that goes through, so you can mm-hmm. aim the light at whoever you want right. to see it.
Right.
Yeah. So you don't have to guess, like, oh, are they seeing me? It's like, yes, they are seeing you, because you put the object that you want. You put the object that you want them to see, or, you know what I mean. The object goes in the crosshairs. Yeah. The object that you want to be seen to goes in the crosshairs. So, and, you know, I think that's a good place to wrap up, because we're almost at an hour. Wow, that's a lot of information, and we're literally like a quarter of the way through. So this is going to be an ongoing series, I think.
Yeah.
But cool. It's a good start. This is a good start. If you have these basic survival tools, you're going to make it. If you just stick with this stuff, you can make it some way, somehow. Except awesome. You want some water. Yeah. So, all right. Would you like to add anything else?
That's a really good start. So
that is a good start. Stay tuned. We'll be covering the factions of survival in the next couple of episodes. And we also will probably have some other intermittent episodes of agorism in there. So you can get on board with opting out of the crazy system we're living in. Because I could think we could all pretty much agree that things have really gone mad. It's a mad world.
Mm-hmm. The new normal doesn't seem very normal at all.
No, I don't like the new normal at all. Not one bit. I'm so glad we're off-grid now. It's really been such a great change. Check out theoffgridoutpost.com. That's kind of our home on the internet. It's our outpost on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Signing out.
Talk to y'all later.
Later.
Here's a little teaser for what's coming next week.
A Barnum statement is something that seems like it means something very specific to you. The problem is, it means something very specific to everyone else, and it can mean something different to everyone else at the same time. So, how true can it be if everyone can interpret it to mean something completely different?
Thanks for listening to the Off-Grid Outpost podcast. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to subscribe so you can get all the new episodes.